So here's the deal. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we celebrate the greatest moment in human history. True? Greater than the discovery of electricity? I think. Don't you? Greater than the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as great as that was. Greater than the fall of the Berlin Wall, though that was great. Greater even than Christmas. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Everything. All the signs that we've been studying in the book of John in this Lenten journey of ours have been pointing toward the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the single greatest moment in human history, because here Jesus opens a door for us to be forgiven, to be reconciled to our Father. He opens a door for us to experience the life that God has for us. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words long ago. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. We once lived in the dominion of darkness, but it's a new day. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can be set free from sin. So again, from Ash Wednesday on, we've been in John's Gospel. So we're going to stay in John's Gospel again today. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to John chapter 20, if you want to use your phone, that's fine. In John chapter 20, we find three different appearances of Jesus. First to Mary of Magdalene, the next to his disciples, and lastly to all of his disciples, including Thomas, who wasn't there the first time. So our hope is that as you look at these three different interactions, that one of them might speak in a particularly powerful way to you this morning. Listen carefully to see which one speaks to you. Who was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody was expecting Jesus to rise again. And then when he did, they were in shock. And it gradually dawned on these grieving people that Jesus is alive. What in the world? And for them to kind of unpack the implications of the resurrection of Jesus took days and weeks and months and years. And here we are 2,000 years later and that still spinning. What does it mean that Jesus was more powerful than sin and death? And what does it mean that he shares that victory over sin and death with us? The first one who encountered the living Christ was Mary. For Mary, the resurrection meant moving from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. Tears of sorrow to tears of joy. Early on the first day of the week, before it was light, Mary went to the tomb, only to find that the stone has rolled away. That was not what she was expecting. First, the most loving person she ever met, the one who changed her life completely. First, he is crucified, and then somebody stole his body. That's what she thought. Adding insult to injury. And she went and found Peter and John, and as we heard, they ran to the tomb. John was afraid to go in, but Peter, huffing and puffing, I think he was built like me, he's a little bigger guy. Took him a little longer to get there, but then he was not a shy fellow, and so he went right into the tomb. And sure enough, no body. How do we make sense of that? And again, nobody was expecting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they went back to join the other disciples, and Mary was staying around the tomb because when you lose somebody, you just want to somehow be near them, hopefully in some way. So she was there, And through her red and puffy eyes, she looked in the tomb and saw two angels, and they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And she said, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." And I know this isn't historically accurate, but she was a hot mess. Right? She was a hot mess. And she is weeping, and I mean, the foundation of her life has been pulled down. And she sees somebody, she thinks it's the gardener, and he too asks her, "Why are you crying?" And it's the same, this is what's going on in her heart and mind. "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." And then it happened, starting in verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." Instant recognition. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni!" What in the world? He's not dead. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And they're like, "What are you talking about? He's dead." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is so full of meaning, isn't it? She's so desperate. And then, can you imagine what she felt when Jesus spoke her name and she was able to recognize that it was Jesus? Her poor little brain must have been like, what? Nobody cheats death, right? Nobody cheats death. I mean, Jesus did it for Lazarus, and that was great just a couple weeks ago, but nobody cheats death for themselves. What in the world? Her tears of sorrow were replaced with tears of surprise and joy. This news was so unexpected, so wonderful. She had to tell the disciples, "Jesus is alive." How unlikely is that? So for Mary, the resurrection meant moving from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. Does this speak to you this morning? Does this speak to you this morning? Mary was sad because she thought Jesus was gone forever. She felt alone, like she had no one to turn to, a sheep without a shepherd. And in her despair, she wept and cried out. But that all changed. Maybe you feel like Mary. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you thought that life was going to turn out one way, but it hasn't. You're not alone. Jesus is alive. He is with you always. He can give you courage and strength. Maybe today is the day when you can begin to move from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. The psalmist wrote, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Maybe the sun is starting to rise for you. Today I invite you to ask Jesus to help you move from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. Maybe today your healing journey can begin. Did you know that in our church we have a department called the Heal Department? What kind of church has a Heal Department? We do. How cool is that? And you might not know that part of my time is devoted to Bayview Chapel, but the rest of my time is devoted to working in the Heal Department. So this morning, if you are interested in finding out how you can take another step on your healing journey, I would love to visit with you and talk about some of the ministries that are available. Later that same day, Jesus appeared to his disciples. Let's look in verse 19 and following. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." For the disciples, the resurrection of Jesus meant going from fear to courage. From fear to courage, and we give them a hard time, don't we? Like, what were they doing? I mean, when Jesus got arrested, they bolted. Only John was there at the foot of the cross. What a desperate night that must have been. What a desperate couple of nights. You imagine being in the room with these? They bet their whole lives, literally. They bet their whole lives that Jesus was the Messiah. And for them, when he died the way he did, they thought, that's it. Game over. We backed the wrong horse. That's it. Because, like, kings in the line of David don't die on a Roman cross. They rule. And we were wrong. Really wrong. And then they locked the door. And why did they do that? Because they thought that once they took care of Jesus, as soon as the Sabbath was over, the first day of the week, what we call Sunday, they'd be looking for them. And they knew what they could do. Right? What could they do? They could have them arrested and beaten up and face a mock trial like Jesus did. And they could be turned over to the Roman authorities and they could die just like Jesus died. And that was a legitimate fear, wasn't it? We give them a hard time because we know how it ended up, but they didn't know it. And they were afraid. They didn't want to die. So they locked the doors. And then Jesus in his resurrection body appears to them in the room. And I would have loved to have been there. They're like, what Mary told us was true. And it's a very common greeting, Shalom Aleichem, peace to you, right? But it takes on a whole new meaning in this situation. Peace, wholeness to you. I cheated death. The power of God is greater than the power of sin. Greater than the power of death. And I'm here to share that victory with you. And then Jesus says what? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Out of this room where the door is locked. Out into the world with the best possible news there could be. That Jesus is alive. They moved from fear to courage. And how did they do? Did they live courageous lives from that point on? Actually did. You know, if you read over into the book of Acts, which happens just a little bit after the resurrection of Jesus, you see that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down with a sound like a wind and in flames of fire, and they went out into the street, people were attracted by the noise. And Peter so boldly stands up and tells them what's going on and invites them into this new life. And a few days later, they're at the temple and they're arrested by the same men that put Jesus to death. And they said, we're going to let you off, but no more talking about Jesus. And Peter says, tell you what, should we listen to you or should we listen to God? They moved from fear to courage. Because Christ had risen from the dead. Do you need to move from being fearful to having courage? Does this speak to you this morning? This week I read this description of fear. The pervasiveness of fear ranges from a vague anxiety, which is all the more persistent because it has no precise object, to those more specific fears of losing a loved one, of loneliness, of responsibility, of hurting someone, of being disappointed by reality, to fears of success or failure. So let me ask you this. What would your life be like if you could overcome your fears through the risen Christ? What would your life be like without fear? How could you change? What could you do? What could your life be like without fear? Free to take risks, free to love others, free to tell them the good news of a new life in Jesus Christ. Today, I invite you to ask Jesus to help you move from being fearful to being courageous. We have one more encounter. Thomas wasn't present when Jesus showed up and revealed himself to the others. Excuse me for my runny nose. I greeted outside at McKinley for the first service. It was chilly. My nose thought it was springtime, but it was winter for a little while. We give Thomas a hard time, don't we? He came back and the others were like, we saw Jesus, and he's like, no, I'm not buying it. I didn't see it. Unless I see his wounds, I'm not going to believe it. Let's go to verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Go ahead and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Go ahead. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And we give Thomas a hard time, but this really is unbelievable, isn't it? That Jesus could rise again from the dead. And he had to really see the evidence. These other guys, I don't know what they saw. But for Thomas, the resurrection meant moving from doubt to belief. Does this speak to you this morning? Do you need to stop doubting Jesus and start believing? Jesus is such an unusual character in human history, right? And there's so many different opinions about him. I mean, was he just a great teacher? Is that all there was? Was he a person who went around doing good? Did he have kind of a charismatic personality? Or was he the Son of God? Did he die in our place? And did he rise again from the dead 3 days later? Maybe you've heard this story before, but you're like, you know, it's hard to believe. If this is you, then maybe Thomas is your guy. Maybe this morning is an opportunity for you to put your faith in Christ. He's not here this morning. He isn't able to hold out his hands for us to see the scar prints. But they did. One of the things about the resurrection of Jesus, it wasn't just an image. He was there, and though his resurrection body was different than ours, it was still had a physical nature to it. He was able on several occasions to eat with them. Right? He wasn't a ghost. He was resurrected from the dead. It's so cool that the stories of Jesus' life were written just like 20 years after the resurrection, so that some of those 500 people that saw the risen Christ were still alive, and they could either deny the story or they could verify it. And then there's the transformation in the lives of the disciples, moving from fear to courage, willing to tell people about Jesus no matter what. Many of them were arrested and some of them were put to death. And would you die and suffer for a lie? I wouldn't. And then there's what we see around us, an imperfect church, imperfect followers of Jesus. Let's be honest about that. And yet there is something in the lives of those that follow Jesus that calls for an explanation. We see people's lives imperfectly being changed by Jesus Christ. For me, it was seeing people who had real purpose in their lives. Something is going on here. And I got to the point in my life where I said, okay, I've got to make a decision. Either Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, is the biggest liar in history, or just maybe he is who he said he is. And if he really died in my place, and if he really rose again, then I need to surrender my entire life to him. Spoiler alert, I did. Probably not a big surprise, but it was for me because I wasn't expecting to meet Jesus, and I wasn't expecting to do this. But God had other plans. And one day I just got to a point where I knew enough that I had to make a decision. And one of my prayers for today's service is that somebody who is here this morning says, that's me. I know too much to just be neutral about this Jesus guy. Either I've got to reject him and just say, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Or I'm going to surrender my entire life to him and see what God has for me. And maybe experience forgiveness. And maybe see my life transformed. And maybe move from fear to courage. And from doubt to belief. And maybe you're here this morning. And maybe this is your day. Maybe this is your day to say, I don't have all the answers, Jesus, but I know enough to begin this faith journey. And so I want to say yes. Yes to you, the risen Christ. Whatever that means, I don't know. Could be an adventure, more than likely. I invite you today to start your journey and to invite Christ into your life and see what God can do with you. Let's respond to what we have heard today. We've seen three different encounters. I wonder which one speaks to you. Here in the presence of the risen Christ, are you moving from tears of sorrow to tears of joy? Is it your time to begin to move from fear to courage? Or maybe this is your day to move from doubt to belief. Let's respond today. Father, I pray for any who are here today that are grieving, that are going through a very difficult time, I pray that you would meet them there. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Maybe this morning, joy begins to creep in. Maybe this morning, the healing journey begins. Jesus, come among us with your healing power. Maybe this morning, you have a heart's desire to move from being afraid to being courageous. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. May your love enter our lives and begin to push fear out. Because fear will never take us to the life you have for us, but it will keep us from it. And I pray for any who are here this morning with doubt. I guess we all have it. But maybe they know enough to begin a faith journey. I pray that if anybody here this morning has said yes to you, the risen Christ, please come and be part of my life. I pray that you'd encourage their hearts, that this would be the first step of many. On this Easter morning, we say yes, Jesus. We want you to be part of our lives. We don't want to miss the life that you have for us. We don't know what it all means, but we're ready to see what you can do in our lives. We thank you that the power of God is greater than the power of sin and death. And we rejoice this day. In Jesus' name, amen.